Chapter 13. Digs in Dis. I've arrived at Dis. My feet and legs hurt, but the mental battle is won. Road 0, Partridge 1. And Partridge goes through to the next round. Partridge! 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 He's our man. If he can't do it, no one can. It's Partridge! I realise I'm chanting out loud, so I pack it in quick style. You're not in the shower now, Alan. But yes, I'm extremely happy. I locate my digs for the night. It's a B&B on Denmark Hill. I knock at the door with a rat-a-tat-tat. Actually, just a rat-a-tat, thinking about it. A voice is heard through the door. Yes? Straight away, this annoys me. The British bed and breakfast used to be the envy of the hospitality world. The weary traveller would be met by a buxom middle-aged woman with ruddy cheeks and good cheer, and the only thing saucier than her humour would be the actual sauce she served with her award-winning cooked breakfasts. A B&B owner was by definition a customer-facing role. But try telling that to the nervous Nellies who run today's guest houses and only speak from behind locked doors or lob in chippy responses to perfectly constructive TripAdvisor criticism. Footnote. With the emphasis on constructive, if your lounge stinks of cat, you need to Febreze it. The lounge, not the cat. Although either would work. Yes, she repeated as I'd paused to think about the stuff I've just said. Partridge. Who is it? Partridge. What was it you wanted? Bear in mind the door is still closed. I'm face to face with the door knocker as a voice murmurs out from behind it, making it seem like I'm conversing with a talking brass lion. I've heard the Bradford and Bingley. Fern and I mutter quickly. Pardon? I repeat the above. Can't be bothered to actually repeat it. She tuts loudly, the door opens. I knew this would work. Quiet, quick gibberish always gets them. I said, what was it you wanted? I shake her by the hand. I've come to check in, and I'm delighted you've finally bothered to open the door, I say, striding past her and into a lounge where three men are watching football. Next door, she says. I quickly leave. Although this was a private residence, I stand by everything I've just said. Next door, I'm greeted by the owner of the guest house. I introduce myself, Alan Partridge, and she tells me her name is Mrs. Lancashire, in that guarded way people of a certain generation tend to. As if my introduction is an elaborate form of phishing, and by telling me her first name, she's divulging online banking login details. Absolutely ridiculous. Although neither buxom nor saucy, Mrs. Lancashire is at least socially functioning, unlike her neighbour. She shows me to a room that is small, clean, and bright, much like herself, although I can't vouch for her cleanness, and I make myself at home. Footnote. Almost too at home. After toileting, I accidentally walk into her bedroom. She isn't in it, I hasten to add, so I have a quick snoop and find no male shoes, which suggests there's no Mr. Lancashire on the scene, unless he's a cross-dresser or double amputee of the legs. Entering my room, I see that FedEx has delivered my rucksack. Oh, good, I say, and she grumbles that she doesn't normally accept deliveries for guests, pulling such a face about it you'd think I'd delivered excrement through her letterbox rather than a rucksack to myself. But she soon cheers up. Once I've settled in, she offers me tea and eventually agrees to draw me a foot bath using the washing-up bowl that some people have in their kitchen sinks as a kind of plastic inner sink. Footnote. Never known why. My feet, although blistered, are practically bleating for succour. As my feet relax and bleed a little into the warm water, I strike up some chat, keen to learn more about this hopefully fascinating local character. 10 minutes later, I realise Mrs. Lancashire is not fascinating. She used to work for the council, and now she doesn't. Cool story, bro. I ask if she knows who I am, and go on to explain the overarching concept of my radio show, run through some of my TV work, and perform some of the radio adverts she may have heard me in. If your van's off the road, the only thing you're driving is your business into a wall. So call Vantastic and save yourself some proper bother. Nothing. And that's fine, this is Dis, after all, an area untouched by the worlds of entertainment and celebrity, where the people have little chance of knowing who is famous and who isn't. I know that Rick Wakeman lives in Dis, and he frequently complains that when he stands on a pub chair and booms, "I'm Rick Wakeman and my glass is dry," no one ever buys him a drink. Even though he's the keyboard player from Yes, and they're just ordinary people who live in Dis. So I don't take her ignorance personally, until I reach the foot of the stairs and see a chilling display. On the wall, under a laminated banner that says Hetty's Wall of Fame, oh, so it's Hetty now, is it? is a whole bevy of signed photos from previous guests snapped next to Hetty / Mrs. Lancashire. Charlie Dimmock giving a thumbs up. Kelvin McKenzie, brackets, who's written lovely B&B and that's the truth, close brackets. Everest Windows Craig Doyle and lovely wife Dune. Gloria Honeyford with a glass of wine. Duncan Goodhue, brackets, keep swimming. Glenys, brackets, and Neil Kinnock. Claire Grogan, Paul Gambaccini, brackets, thanks for everything, and sorry. A cranky, Jarvis Cocker, and in the middle of them all, a soft-focused publicity shot, all twinkly eyes and bouffant hair, stirring a feeling in me that was simultaneously like a punch in the gut and a kick in the cock. There, smiling at me, was Edmonds.